It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's Mountaineer Heritage hunting season this week, which is limited to primitive weapons.
First thing I do is take my powder horn, and I've got my powder measure right here. And that's from a turkey leg bone.
We'll have that story coming up in just a bit. First, some headlines. This is West Virginia Morning. The West Virginia House Health and Human Resources Committee has advanced a bill that would ensure medical care for a fetus born alive following an ineffective abortion. Dave Mistich has more.
House Bill 4007 is known as the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. The measure would direct physicians to exercise reasonable medical judgment should a fetus be delivered alive following an abortion. State law currently prohibits women from having an abortion after 20 weeks of gestation. In a Thursday meeting, Democratic Delegate Margaret Staggers, who is also a physician, said there is no possibility for a fetus to survive if delivered at or before 20 weeks. The bill cleared the House Health Committee on a voice vote. Democratic Delegate Danielle Walker was the only audible opposition to the measure. House Bill 4007 now heads to the floor for consideration. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich at the Capitol.
Proponents of increasing renewable energy generation in the Mountain State are once again urging West Virginia lawmakers to legalize a common financing method. Brittany Patterson explains.
Power purchase agreements, or PPAs, allow third-party developers to install solar panels on a homeowner or business's property at little cost to the property owner. The developer sells the power generated to the host, saving them money on their power bill, and the developer makes money by selling any excess power to the utility. This arrangement is one of the most popular ways to boost solar installation, but in West Virginia, the practice is illegal. A new report by advocacy group West Virginians for Energy Freedom says, if legislation is enacted to allow third-party solar installation, at least 13 megawatts of solar could be installed across the state and create almost 400 jobs. Currently, the state has about 8 megawatts of solar installed. Bipartisan bills introduced last session to legalize the practice died in committee. Proponents say they'll try again in 2020. A bill was introduced in the House Wednesday. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
West Virginia's Mountaineer Heritage hunting season begins this week, 2 weeks after most hunting seasons have closed. It's the second year since its conception, and most notably, it's limited to primitive weapons like recurve or longbows and flintlock muzzleloader rifles. It's meant to memorialize the state's settlers using similar hunting techniques and weapons. Our Folklife reporter Caitlin Tan spent some time with hunters who still make the vintage rifles. Here's the story.
Muzzleloader rifles are just like they sound. They are long guns, easily 4 feet. Hunters load black powder into the muzzle, the end of the gun, to fire. It takes an experienced person just under a minute to reload. That means for hunting, you typically have one shot to kill an animal.
Literally, these are not high-tech. These are primitive weapons. There's nothing high-tech about them.
That's Gene Watchering. As of last spring, he started making the West Virginia University Mountaineer rifle. His father, Marvin Watchering, made the rifle for over 40 years prior to that. Marvin made 949 muzzle loaders in his life, and Gene is on number 9. He says it takes him about 80 hours to make one rifle. Inside Gene's shop in Morgantown, there are 5 rifles mounted in front of a rugged cotton American flag. The rest of the shop is in a bit of disarray. Gene is still going through all of his father's tools, which he inherited. But the rifles on display stand out. He made them all this year.
A lot of frustrating hours in that gun. And I had to put it up for a little bit, and so then I built this one. And that one is completely scraps out of his shop.
They all have a glossy wooden shine to them. 2 have a hand-carved gold emblem in the shape of West Virginia. Another is made out of bird's eye maple, which gives it a distinct patterned look. And there's a metal bear paw on the side. Gene says the knowledge of how to build muzzle loaders and even how to shoot them is dwindling. It's easier to hunt with modern rifles. They're easier to load, can shoot a longer range, and one can shoot multiple times within a matter of seconds. But he says black powder hunting is almost a sport of its own.
There's a challenge to it. At some point, honestly, it's just pretty easy to kill an animal with a modern rifle. It's just the reality of it. So, you know, you want to make it a little more challenging.
And that's a big reason the West Virginia Department of Natural Resources advocated for the mountaineer heritage hunting season. In a 2018 DNR survey of hunters, data showed that almost half of West Virginian hunters intended to take part in the season. And Gene is one of those people. He made his first muzzleloader at 11 years old, but up until a year ago, he mostly just hunted with them. He had stopped building the rifles in adulthood. But when Marvin passed away unexpectedly, Gene felt he didn't have a choice. WVU needed a new rifle right away, and Marvin had a list of other customers' orders dating back to 2010. Gene says as Marvin got older, he couldn't keep up with the rifle orders.
These are all the scribbled writings, and then you look at the printed out thing.
It's a stack of worn papers, big and small. Names and phone numbers are scribbled in every which direction.
There's 98 plus all the ones on the side plus all the ones on the top. Yeah, he ran out of room. But some people are finding me.
For as long as Gene can remember, his dad was making muzzleloaders, so he says he didn't realize how special of a craft it is.
I've heard comments where my work's just as good as dad's. But when I look at it, I think it doesn't even match up. Completely different category.
Gene says he views carrying on the knowledge of making rifles as a responsibility, as there are few people in the state who are experts in the field these days. Larry Spizak is a West Virginian who also still builds muzzleloaders. His shop is down a windy turnpike outside Morgantown. It sits on several acres of forested land that he hunts on. Walking through the dead leaves, he finds a spot to shoot one of his handmade rifles. Larry prefers to make flintlock rifles, which is a type of muzzleloader. They're one of the oldest firearm technologies dating back to the 1500s. With a flintlock, one pulls the trigger and a piece of steel hits the flint, which is just a very hard rock. It creates a spark and ignites the black powder.
First thing I do is take my powder horn, and I've got my powder measure right here. And that's from a turkey leg bone.
All of Larry's supplies are handmade. A friend made the turkey powder measure, and Larry made the leather bag carrying his tools. He also made the rifle, and he even made the round lead ball, which serves as the bullet. Wrapped in a small piece of fabric, the ball goes into the barrel of the gun.
And what the patch does, it acts as a seal, and it also allows the rifling to grip the ball better and put that spin on the ball. All right, now we draw the ramrod and drive it home.
The ramrod pushes the black powder and bullet into the bottom of the gun, back by the flintlock.
Ready to fire. So, put on full cock. Here we go.
Larry also says the rifle is a large part of Appalachian history. Early settlers had to hunt for food, and muzzleloaders were the way they did it. And Larry says West Virginians today still embody their ancestors.
A large percentage of the population lives in the mountains, and maybe not realizing it, but they are in their everyday activities with farming, hunting. They are living a bit of the life that was commonplace and an everyday occurrence 200 years ago.
And that's why Larry still makes and hunts with muzzleloaders. He likes to feel connected to the settlers who paved the way for us in Appalachia. The West Virginia Mountaineer Heritage Hunting Season goes from January 9th to January 12th. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan in Morgantown.
Fayetteville, West Virginia's Andrew Adkins is renowned for his honest and heartfelt songwriting. His fourth solo album, Who I Am, was produced by Mountain Stage band leader Ron Soule. Adkins brought a band of West Virginia music luminaries with him to perform this ballad, Fragile Heart, from that album. It's our Mountain Stage Song of the Week. Mm-hmm.
There was a time I gave my love away free. Gave it to a girl that never loved me. Did some things that I'm not proud of. All just trying to win her love. Broke some rules and I made mistakes. I gave her all of my heart to break. Ran too fast and talked too much. It all disappeared when I lost touch. I remember every word. Every lesson I've learned, even the ones that tore me apart, they all shaped this fragile heart. They all shaped this fragile heart. When I think that I've lost track, a quiet mind goes wandering back, running down every word I said, counting the days that I regret. It's so hard at just holding on. You turn around and love is gone. I burned through time and wasted youth. All is searching for the truth. I remember every word. Every lesson I've learned, even the ones that tore me apart, they all shape this fragile heart. They all shape this fragile heart. There was a time I gave my love away free. Gave it to a girl that never loved me.
Thank you, folks.
Hear the entire set from Adkins, plus performances by Green Sky Bluegrass, Donna the Buffalo, and more this week's encore episode of Mountain Stage. Tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News project is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glenna Sport. I'm Teresa Wills.